The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In James 5, 19 and 20, the soul of a wanderer can be turned back to the truth, saving their soul. Is this about eternal salvation? Hello, friend. Thank you for joining us here on Grace in Focus. This is a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Our website, faithalone.org, where in our bookstore you can find Bob Wilkins' latest book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. And under events, you can get all of the details for our upcoming National Annual Conference. The dates are May 18th through the 21st, 2026. Our theme is going to be Believe in Jesus for Life. You will love it. We want you to be there. First-timers get their registration fee waived, and all of the details are at faithalone.org. Now, with today's discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Sam Marr.
Welcome, everybody. We've got a little different format today. Rather than just addressing a question, Bob wanted to go through a couple verses in James and just dive a little deeper than normal. And he's got a blog that's coming out soon associated with it, so we'll definitely recommend you to read through that as well. But Bob, what verses are we talking about today?
Yeah, at the end of James, in James 5, 19 and 20, he talks about the saving of the soul or the saving of the life of someone among you, among the readers that James is writing to, who wanders away from the truth. And so he says, if one of you can turn them back, you're saving his soul. Actually, it says saving a soul, but some manuscripts read saving his soul from death. And so we need to interpret that. So maybe first we could begin by reading the passage. And then I'll give a brief statement about how this verse needs to be understood in light of the Gospel of John, and we'll then quote some people and see what they say.
So this is James 5, 19 and 20. It says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins."
Yeah, so it sounds like what James is saying is that any one of us could save a believer who wanders away and we bring him back. So if this is your child and you bring him back, you've just saved them from death. Let's say this is someone in your local church and they stray and you bring them back, you've saved them from death. Well, the way a lot of people interpret this is saving from eternal death, saving them from eternal condemnation. But we know from John 3:16 that the condition for escaping eternal condemnation, not perishing, and having everlasting life is whoever believes in him. There's nothing about turning from the error of your way. So I think it's important that we recognize from the get-go that this can't be talking about saving a straying believer from eternal condemnation. Because the condition for escaping eternal condemnation is belief, not repentance. Having said that, a lot of commentators actually take that view. I think you have a quote there from Peter Davids in his commentary on James.
Yeah, he says, "James then concludes with the purpose of his work. He does not discuss sin simply to moralize or condemn. He discusses sin to point out to erring community members the results of their behavior and to bring them to repentance. He hopes to save them from damnation and procure forgiveness for their sins."
Notice, he hopes to save them from damnation. And he says these are erring community members. Community meaning the believing community. Of course, all through the book, he calls them brethren, my beloved brethren, and even in verse 19, he starts it out with brethren. Mm-hmm. And then he says, anyone among you, among the brethren, strays. So we're not talking about some atheist. Of course, an atheist can't stray from the truth because you have to actually believe the truth to stray from it, right?
So at least we agree on that part. We're talking about believers.
Yeah, well, he doesn't quite say that, but he implies it when he says community members. I have a quote here from Doug Moo, who's a famous New Testament scholar, and he wrote a commentary on James, and here's what he said. "It is by sharing with James the conviction that there is indeed an eternal death to which the way of sin leads that we shall be motivated to deal with sin in our lives and in the lives of others." Notice he's talking about eternal death. Well, the context says nothing about eternal death, and it says nothing about damnation. It just talks about death. You remember in John 11:26, Jesus asked Martha a question, "Do you believe this?" Well, what was it he had just said that he's asking if she believes?
That I'm the resurrection and the life.
Right.
Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die.
In 26, yeah. That's a statement of the security of the believer, right? But notice the Lord didn't say, he who turns from his wicked ways shall never die.
Right.
He said, he who believes in me, yeah, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And her answer is yes. Well, he said nothing about turning from sins. She said nothing about turning from sins. And of course, if you've read the Gospel of John, you know that repent and repentance don't occur anywhere in the Gospel of John. You know the word believe occurs 100 times in the Gospel of John. And over again, Jesus said, the one who believes in him or believes in his name has everlasting life and will never hunger, never thirst, never die, never perish, never be cast out, never be plucked out of his hand. We're secure by faith, not by turning from sins.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
So the idea that James 5:19 and 20 is talking about causing a fellow believer to turn back to the Lord after they've strayed in order to save them from eternal condemnation is an impossible view. I mean, even a child should be able to see what James is talking about here. He's talking about physical life and physical death. And, you know, this idea of saving the life in Greek, as you know, we just did a class on James and exegeting James and translating James. Saving of the life here, it's the word sozo and psuche. That occurs in the Old and New Testament, the Greek Old Testament and in the Greek New Testament, to refer to saving a physical life. For example, in 1 Peter 3:20, Peter says that Noah and 8 souls were saved in the ark through water. And it isn't referring to them being saved from eternal condemnation. It refers to them being saved from physical death or premature physical death. And so I think it's pretty obvious what's going on here. And James was talking about someone among the brethren. Throughout the letter, he calls them brethren or my beloved brethren. In fact, in 2:1, he says, don't hold your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ in a matter of favoritism. There's a good quote by Zane Hodges in his commentary on James that I think lays this out quite simply. Could you read that?
Sure. He says, thus, a Christian's efforts for the restoration of his brother to the pathway of obedience are life-saving in scope. If successful, he will save a soul from death, but he will do more than that, since a restored sinner receives the gracious forgiveness of God. Thus, the many sins created and multiplied by a man who turns away from God are all removed from view when that man turns back to God. The word rendered cover here means conceal. The restored sinner's multitude of sins are now out of sight through the pardon he has received. And the loving brother who turns him back is credited not only with the preservation of his fellow Christian's life, but also with making him clean, as if his efforts have removed from view the unsightly moral disfigurements which sin creates.
I love what he's saying here, and it's pretty simple. In fact, it reminds me of Luke 15. You remember in verses 4 through 7, Jesus gives the parable of the lost sheep.
Mm-hmm.
The shepherd has 100 sheep in the fold, and they're all righteous. And then one of the sheep strays, illustrating a believer who strays away from the Lord. And the shepherd goes, finds the sheep, carries him back, and puts him back in the sheepfold with the other 99 righteous. And he said, The Son of Man didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Well, the 99 were already righteous in their experience. And the one who strayed, he found and brought back. The principle there is not that they gained eternal life. The principle there is they got back in fellowship with God. You have the same thing later in Luke 15 with the prodigal son, right? He goes off to the spiritual far country. The father is looking for him each day and praying for his return. The son comes to his senses after he experiences famine and want and discipline from God, and he comes back to the father and gets back in fellowship. So we need to see in James 5, 19 and 20, a restoration to fellowship with God and an extension of the life. Because a person who walks in rebellion against God is going to shorten his or her life, whether they're a believer or an unbeliever. So the believer who is in the far country and refuses to repent is curtailing their own life. Remember, James 1:15 says that same basic thing, that desire gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. This idea that sin is death-dealing doesn't just start in James 5:19 and 20. It starts at the very beginning of the book.
This is a classic case of if all you have is a hammer, everything's a nail. If all you have is salvation doctrine, then every verse you see you're going to interpret as about eternal salvation. And not only is that misinterpreting, but you're now missing the true meaning of what's being said. You're not going to understand what believers are supposed to do for one another if it's always just eternal salvation, because, I mean, if you read the book of James, there's no mention of those concepts. It's all about...
except 1:18.
Right.
1:18, you've been brought forth by the word of truth. But even there, it doesn't use the word salvation. It says brought forth.
And it's not in the context of either being spared from eternal condemnation or being brought into everlasting life.
I know we're about out of time, but let me make just a quick... Y'all, if you get time, look up the word save in James. It occurs five times. All five refer to salvation from difficulties in this life. None of them refer to eternal salvation. And the other thing that Sam just said is very important. If you think everything is about regeneration or salvation from eternal condemnation, you're going to be sadly wrong about 7 times out of 10 in the New Testament. Because 70% of the time in the New Testament, the words save and salvation refer to being delivered from some difficulty in this life, and that's especially true in James. So study this passage, share it with your family, share it in Sunday school, in your Bible study. But this is a great passage to teach, and as Sam said, we have a blog on this. I think it may have already gone up, but if it hasn't, it'll be going up this week. And in the meantime, let's all
keep grace
in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. And on our next edition, how will women be saved by childbearing? Please join us for that. And in the meantime, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.